busy weekend for me. It's just the third time in 24 hours that I've preached, so thank you for paying me, because it works. But it's good to be back, and good to have a term start again, and great having people like Nathan and Jess coming to work with us and work alongside us, and it's very encouraging, so thank you. I want you to imagine you're in a kind of a place where you're looking at an old brick wall. The place you are is wilderness. It's rambles and brambles and weeds and stuff. And as you look at the wall, you can see a door. And the door's got rusted hinges. It looks like it's not been opened for a long, long time. And you have a sense that beyond the door, beyond the wall, there's this amazing, beautiful garden. And that is a place that you desire to somehow be. And at one point, or at some point, the gardener in this amazing, beautiful garden does something that just cracks the rusty hinges on this door, so it's kind of slightly open. And then after a while, he cracks it a little bit more, so it's even more open. And you begin to peer into the garden and see through the crack and see that it is beautiful, it is amazing. And then the gardener cracks it open even more. And you think that you're going to go into the garden and enjoy the garden, but the gardener steps into the rambles and the brambles and begins to clean that up and begins to make that as beautiful as the garden you can see beyond the door. Sometimes I think praying is a bit like the door. God is the gardener, and God is in the place of his presence. We sometimes think of that as heaven. I'm trying not to think of it as heaven, because we always think heaven's up here, hell below, and you know, we just do all that spatial thing, which actually doesn't work that well biblically, but that's another story. But the place of God's presence, and God longs to have his presence breaking through into this world. And we kind of think, oh no, we want to rush into his presence, which is okay. That's from the Bible as well, to be in God's presence. But God wants to break open doors in heavenly places so that his kingdom, so he can come into his world and begin to make it clean and bright and beautiful as the place of his presence is now. Round about 13 years ago, as a leadership here in the church, we just kept getting drawn back to the passage Jess has read. It's a passage which, briefly to tell you about, Moses has come down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments on two kind of stone tablets. He's found the people of Israel have completely forgotten about God already, forgotten about Moses' leadership already, and they're partying. And it's not a nice kind of party. It's one of those seedy affairs. And they're worshipping another god. And Moses is so angry that he breaks these stone tablets. And God's so angry that he's saying, look, you guys, I've had it with you. You've turned your backs on me, and I'm going to walk away from you. And at that point, whatever Moses' anger was, he then turns to God and he says, no, please, God, don't take your presence from us. Well, whatever you do to us, don't take your presence from us, because it's your presence that distinguishes us, that makes us different from all the other people on the face of the earth. And we just, as a leadership, as a church, we just kept getting drawn back to that verse in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 15, where Moses says to God, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses knew that it was God's presence that makes the difference. And about 13 years ago, for a period of about 18 months, I think it was, as a leadership, we just kept getting drawn back to that passage of Scripture and to that verse, Exodus 33:15. And out of that, we began to write what we call our church prayer. If you've walked in through the foyer, the back door, if you will, on the notice board there, it only says one thing. It says, our prayer is, we long to be a loving people of God's life-changing presence. It began a different story. We used to write, we long to be a loving people of God's infectious presence, which I thought was cool. Then people said, oh yeah, but infection's like disease, isn't it? And, I was thinking of infectious joy or infectious laughter, but there was this kind of payoff. And in the end, we became God's life-changing presence. Moses knew that the big difference for all his people was the presence of God. And so he pleaded with God. In spite of the fact that God's people had already turned their backs on him, Moses pleaded, God, don't take your presence from us. And God said, I won't. Now, 13 years ago, when we were formulating or crafting that prayer and being drawn by God the Holy Spirit back to it again and again and again, imagine that door in heavenly places. Imagine God wanting to do something among us as his people that is literally the outbreak of his presence. And it wasn't that he wasn't already here, but we really began to believe that God wanted to do something long-lasting and deep among us. And I believe as a leadership, as we were praying, it's like God just cracked open that rusty hinged door in heavenly places. And as we prayed it through and as we began to share it with you as a church, and it began to, if you will, seep into our DNA, because that's what we wanted. We wanted it to change who we were and become who we were, not just like what's our prayer? Do you know our prayer? Well, fine, we can learn it off by heart, but our heart was, will we live it? Will we live it off by heart? Will God's presence break into our church, into his church, into our lives in such a way that other people who didn't know about God, who didn't know about Jesus, who had no experience or knowledge of him, would somehow begin to come among us and be a part of us, and God's presence would touch their lives so that we were, what was the prayer again? We long to be a loving community of God's life-changing presence. God wants to break open his presence into this world. Some Bible teachers will come and say, this is what we call the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. That's kind of a bit posh phrase, but we just want to know God's presence. And that's been our prayer. And I believe as we prayed that prayer again and again and again, that door from heaven to earth, if you will, has broken open again and again and again. So not so that we can burst into God's presence and spend all day there, but so God's presence can burst into our lives, burst among us and break among us, so all the weeds and the brambles that are cluttering up our life and cluttering up this world begin to change because somehow his kingdom invades. And I do believe that over the last 10 to 13 years, God's been doing that among us in loads and loads and loads of different ways. I love it when I hear stories about people coming here for the first time on Sundays. I know some of you know the story of Tina Kimberly Howarth, who usually sits at the back with her mum and her auntie and her daughters. And Tina's now working as a secretary to the Free Methodist Churches in the UK. But her story is that she came here dragged by her primary school daughter, who liked it here, amazingly, who liked it here, and she dragged mum along. So mum came along, and she said for the first 3 months, she sat on the back row there, and every time we began to worship God, she wept. Now, at first, I was really worried. I was thinking, was that Dave Sewell's band that was so bad? Was it Patrick's? Was it Steve McNamara's? I just kind of was trying to work that one out, but you know, it wasn't. It was that this breaking in of the presence of God was touching her life in ways she couldn't even put words to. Melting some of the stuff that had gone on in her heart, some of the brokenness that was there in her heart, so that every time she came in among us and into the outbreaking of the presence of God, she just cried. She wept. Till a time when God brought her to a place where she knew his love. And his love was changing her and is keeping changing her. We had our home group, first one of the new term on Thursday night. It was great because we began to look at money, really serious subject. But we began by just asking ourselves and asking each other, how did God begin to change our lives? And some of our folk are fairly new to the church. And it was great just to hear them say, one's not been coming a year, came on the Alpha course last term, absolutely loves our home group, but her life has been completely transformed. Just coming into this place, she's a different person because God's presence has broken into her life. And it was great just to hear, I don't think she took 10 seconds, but it was certainly less than 3 minutes to tell us that story. And we went around the room and there was somebody else who came. And 10 years ago, their life was kind of just shattered. And they were struggling with all the pain and the heartbreak of a broken home. And that meant that they drifted away from church. And Megan Blakemore, one of our members here who works on A&E as a kind of accident nurse. If you know Megan, she just loves accidents. It's not that you've had one. She just lives for emergencies. She's just an ideal accident and emergency. And she was on the phone to this lady who's a friend of hers and said, right, you're coming to church and I'm picking you up in 5 minutes. That 5 minutes, that space of time to get ready and turning up here meant God's presence began to break into her life. And again, she shared it in less than 3 minutes in our home group. And we're like, wow, what a story. And then one or two of the blokes actually began to confess that sometimes when they're worshipping God in this place, they sense God's presence so powerfully that they're nearly in tears because of it. I didn't tell them that I get to tears. I just said that's not very blokish, but these other blokes did. Why? Because this door that's been cracked open in heavenly places that is all about the presence of God. And when Moses prayed that prayer, he was tapping into something that is riven right through the whole of the Bible. From beginning to end, that in the beginning of the Bible, man knew this beautiful, wonderful, glorious, majestic, loving presence of God. And then idiotically, stupidly, rebelliously, sinfully turned his back on God and said, I'm going to go it my own way. And in that moment, lost the presence of God. And ever since that moment, God's been trying to woo mankind, woo you and me, and draw us, court us, date us, love us back into his presence. And Moses got an inkling of that when he knew that God wanted to take a hold of this people and make them different. Not because they had the Ten Commandments. That was part of it. Not because the blokes all got themselves circumcised on the eighth day of their birth. That was symbolic. But Moses knew the real difference. It was the presence of God. And then you go right through the Bible to God breaking into this world through his son Jesus. God taking flesh and then dying on a cross. Why? Because when he died on the cross, everything that's wrong about me, all the brokenness of the inside of me, that's everything from a selfish heart to a dirty mind, All that stuff that is rebellion from God. Jesus died on a cross to take the penalty, the justice, the judgment against that. To take it away, one, so that the guilt of it would be removed from me. so that the stain and the shame and the pain of it would be taken from me. And so I would be clean for the presence of a holy, holy, holy God. A pure, pure, pure God who loves me so much, he wants to break into my life with his presence. And he does that through his Holy Spirit. God just didn't clean you at the cross to save you. He cleaned you so you could be full of him, his presence. And Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, when you read his letter to the Ephesians, you find this verse at the very end of chapter 2. Paul writes and says, you, that's you, church, are being built to become a temple, a building in which God lives by his Spirit. Not just me individually, us together. God wants to live in us together by his Spirit. And then one day when Jesus comes again, read the end of the Bible. One day, his presence will completely break in to this world. And that will be amazing because it will totally renew the world and creation as we know it. It will renew it because it will be absolutely full of the presence of God in every way. And you and I will be changed. And that'll be great because believe you me, I need changing. And I know some of you, you need changing too. Don't deny it. Don't run away from it. If there are bits about you you could change right here, right now for the better, you would. You would. And one day, Jesus is going to do that completely. Why? Read the end of the story. Because it means a world, a creation that is absolutely full of the presence of God. But in the meantime, here we are. Here we are living in and knowing together the experience of the presence of God. That's what God longs for us. It's a taster. It's a kind of a bite. So we taste it and we think, brilliant. I can't wait till fully I'm finally in his presence. Or finally I'm fully in his presence. I can't wait for that. And that's why Paul can write, when he writes to the Corinthian church, he says, I'd rather be at home with the Lord and away from my body. Not because he's got some kind of morbid death wish. He just knows being in God's presence, finally and fully, is better. But now, if we're beginning to see that fulfilled, that prayer is being answered, that we long to be a loving community of God's life-changing presence. This year, there's a sense in which God is saying, I want you to break out from that. I want you to move beyond being a loving community. Almost like the door is here and God wants to break out through us and use us to break his presence out into the world in a way that we've not done before. Which is why we began the year with breaking out beyond our walls. It's why we're not letting go, because we believe God is kind of reshaping our spiritual DNA again and saying, there's a world out there that needs to know my presence. The world out there that needs to experience my love, needs to hear my truth that will liberate them, that will set them free from some of the stuff inside that's wrecking and ruining their lives. That's what God wants us to do. So our challenge and our prayer now is beyond being a loving community of God's life-changing presence. One of our home groups did a kind of a series of studies that we're thinking we might do on a Sunday night in the new year. And it's studies about kind of just simply going across a room, imagining that there's somebody across the room who's stood on their own, and will we be the ones who are prepared to go beyond, to break into their presence somehow. And Charles Walls, one of our members, he took that really seriously when they did that study, and it's changed his life. And thankfully, it's actually changing. Well, Charles, come and tell the story. Thanks.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Charles Wall, and as Andrew said, as a result of our home group, we did a series called A Walk Across the Room. And if you've ever gone along to a party and not known anybody there, if you're going to get in touch, the first thing you've got to do is to walk across the room and greet them, try and make friends, and that's what we thought we could do. And the person that came up with this idea was a bloke called Bill Hybels of the Willow Creek Church. And he thought that really we didn't need to be an evangelist like Billy Graham, and we didn't need to have a degree in theology, and we didn't need to know the Bible back to front to go out and show God's love to people. And so my wife Diane and myself thought, hang on, if that's the case, if it's not that brilliant, that'll suit us. And we thought perhaps we could reach out to our local community, our neighbours. So the first thing we did, we thought, right, we'll make a list. We'll write down the name of everyone that lives near us. I wonder if you know your neighbour's name. It's a challenge, isn't it? So we made a list of the names, and we set about praying. And we still pray. Every Saturday, I like things in an ordered fashion. So every Saturday, I pray for every person in our neighbourhood by name. And the other thing we started to do, we said, right, we're going to try and show God's love to them. How are we going to do it? Well, the first thing you've got to do is, as Bill Hybels said, walk across the room. In our case, walk across the road. So we took every opportunity that was available. If we saw somebody working in the garden, washing their car, taking the dog for a walk, we took delight in trying to reach out to those people and build bridges, get to know them. And then a little bit later on, we thought, well, that's great. Well, why not invite them into our home so that not only can we share each other, but they can share with their neighbours. And so Diane, my wife, set about one Christmas writing a card to each of our neighbours. And what we did, we put inside a card inviting them to our home, to a little neighbourhood get-together. Just drinks and nibbles. We told them it wasn't going to be a long event. We told them it'll start at such and such a time and finish. And you know, quite a lot of people came along. And we've done that on a regular basis ever since. People come along. And it's given us the opportunity to invite people to the church, to outreach events. We have a lot of outreach events here. So that's given us the opportunity. It also allowed me to bring some of the older folks nearby to the Wednesday lunch break. A great place to come along to. You know, you should try it. I mean, I'm retired, so I've got time. But we have people here who bring their work colleagues along. Bring friends. Bring their uncles, aunts. Brilliant. And it's only £2. And you get a fruit juice. You get a choice of two sorts of homemade soup that Sue made. And then you got a load of cakes. At least half a dozen homemade cakes. And a tea and a coffee. Brilliant. And you get to meet people. And I met a fella called Harry. Now, Jenny down there smiling because Harry was 90 years old and he used to still drive and he used to bring Jenny to church. And he was he loved having his leg pulled. I always remember one time, I'm just going off the point a bit and it's a bit crude, but nevertheless, he was 90 and he was a bit deaf. And so I said one day, how old are you? He says, my birthday coming up. He said, I'm 90, you know. I said, oh, so I said, will you be having a party? When he's a bit deaf. And he said, pardon? I said, will you be having a party? He says, oh, I don't know. He said, perhaps my family will give us a party. So there were about 8 of us around the table, and he loved having his leg pulled. So I gave a wink, and I said, and now you're having a stripper? Of course, everybody just burst out laughing, because the thought of a 90-year-old bloke, and I was pulling his leg, obviously. But of course, he was deaf. He was deaf, so he says, and he could see them all laughing. So he says, what did he say? And then all 8, in one accord, shouted, are you having a stripper? And of course, it was mayhem from then on. Unfortunately, Harry died a little while ago. And so Jenny didn't turn up for a long time because she didn't have anyone to bring her to the event. Then one time, she was there with her son David. And we sat next to each other and got chatting. And I knew that Jenny goes to Tanterton Christian Fellowship, and so did Harry. So I assumed that Dave would be going to that church. So I said, "Do you go to the church, David?" "No," he said, I'm a Catholic," he said. "But," he said, "I'm a lapsed Catholic. I don't go to church." But he was quite impressed with the building, and we'd had some new building work done. And so I said, "Would you like me to show you around?" "Yes," he said, "that would be great." So anyway, I looked around, and he said, "A funny thing, really." He said, "So can anybody come here?" I said, "Yeah, of course they can." I said, "Well, perhaps, you could, when one Sunday night, you could bring your mum and you could come too." "Oh, right," he said. Well, the next time I saw him was a few weeks later, and I'm in the Gideons, and I go into schools and give out Gideon Bibles to year 7 pupils. And I'd had difficulty with one of the schools allowing me in to do that. And so one Wednesday morning, I put my best suit on, shirt, tie, and off I went. And luckily, I spoke to the head teacher, and he re-invited us back into the school to take an assembly. So it was a Wednesday, it was due for the soup. I thought, "Oh, I'm going to miss soup if I go home and check. I'll go straight in." So I go straight in, and not only is Dave there with Jenny, but he's there with his partner. He's there with his partner's daughter. He's there with his partner's sister and her babe. All sat around. And of course, I got my leg pulled because I had a suit on. I explained why I had the suit on, that I was giving out Bibles. I always said, "She wants a Bible. She needs a Bible." I said, "Who?" "My partner's daughter." I said, "Why?" He said, "She was attacked at knife point a few nights ago in Preston. She needs a Bible." I said, "I'll nip out of the car and I'll get you some. I got a box." "Oh," he said, "if you've got a box full, I wouldn't mind one." Cut a long story short, I gave out 6 around the table. The next time I saw David was a few weeks later. And just as I came through the door, he danced up, he threw his arms around me, gave me a big hug. He said, "You never guess what?" I said, "What?" "I've just given my life to Jesus," he said. I said, "You could have knocked me down." He said, "Not only me, but Joanne as well." And as a result of that, he started coming along to this church. He's been to Spring Harvest. He's attended a no end of courses. He's started to become, he's sat there, by the way, he's the quiet one, you know. He's even started to become a street pastor. And we even went down to Hillsong annual conference, European conference in London. And so just as a result of that walk across the street, that's happened. And I'd just like to finish with a few words that John Hybel says. He says, "Just walking across a room to engage in conversation may be the very catalyst God uses to change one's eternal destiny." Thank you.
Thanks, Charles. So, being a loving community is not enough. One of the things the people of Israel didn't get was that God's heart wasn't just for them, it was for the world. When God promised through Abraham, he said to Abraham, who had no children, "You're going to have a son. And out of that son is going to become a nation. And that nation will be the means by which I bless the world." Israel didn't get that. And if we don't get it as a church, we miss what God finally did through his son Jesus. Where John writes in one of his letters, Jesus died not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Where Paul writes when he's training a young pastor, Timothy, as a leader in the church, he said, God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God's heart is not just for in here, it's for out there. He wants us to be a loving community of his life-changing presence because we need it. We're desperate for it. But so is the world beyond our walls. And God's challenge for us is for us to get beyond our walls. It'll be different. I'm convinced that we will need to change the way we share God's love and God's truth with people beyond our walls. Many, many churches who are doing this are finding that a lot of people just have no idea about Jesus. They don't understand what went on when he came into this world 2,000 years ago. And beginning to tell them the story so that they get to the place where they understand the cross is a long journey. And that's why Alpha has changed and impacted the way we tell people the good news. 50, 60, 70 years ago, Billy Graham could come to Anfield. Actually did it in the 1980s. Fill Anfield with thousands upon thousands of people, and hundreds, if not thousands, responded to Christ. Most people now don't even know who Jesus is, unless he's a swear word. And we've got a long journey to walk with them, and Alpha understands that. People need a journey, they need time, they need space to be able to ask questions, to disagree, to walk away. And we need to allow them that time and space. Some people are finding out that doing church like this on a Sunday doesn't work. You're bringing people into an atmosphere that's so completely different, pardon me, it freaks them out. And so what they're doing is they're sitting people around coffee tables in a very open, welcoming, relaxed atmosphere and having maybe a short discussion about something from the Bible. That we would go away and think, well, it was a service, but it wasn't a service like we know and like and love. Being prepared to be different. Some people are doing what some of you may have heard about is messy church. Just even the name for that doesn't do me any good. Just, you know, church. I mean, messy, all right? Just the idea of getting people to do crafts as a means of exploring a Bible passage, thinking, how does that work? But actually, people are beginning to find Jesus by doing messy church. So whatever we begin to do beyond our walls might be very different to what we love doing within our walls. But we have to be prepared. If we're going to walk across the room, literally break out, then we have to be prepared to go beyond being a loving community. And the challenge is, we've said at the beginning of the year, we believe God's called us to break out beyond our walls, but we don't know where, we don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know we've got to pray and we've got to begin to be prepared. So I guess the challenge for you and for me is, how prepared are you to break out beyond your walls? It may be that the challenge of what Charles has shared about his street is a challenge that some of us have to take up. Being prepared to begin to pray for the people we've listed on our street so we're breaking out beyond. It may be that in a week and a half's time when we go to pray in Blackburn, simply because we're asking God, is Blackburn a place you want us to be? Some of our folk come from Blackburn. They've got a heart from Blackburn. They asked us as a leadership this year, will you consider Blackburn? So that's why we're praying. And we're not just keeping it to the leadership. We're breaking it out to you to say, will you come and pray with us so that it's a together thing? It's a church thing. So it's not just the leaders who are breaking out. It's us together who are beginning to break out. So a week next Tuesday, we're praying in the middle of Blackburn on a Tuesday night. Will you come? Will you break out beyond where you are now and be prepared to listen and obey and do what God's called us to do? But then maybe the last challenge of tonight is this. At some point in the not too distant future, God is going to ask me and he's going to ask you to leave forward. He's going to ask some of us who are leaders to leave forward. It may be permanently. It may be for a year or two while something else gets established. But it is going to ask you, and he's going to challenge you, and you're going to have to go away, and I'm going to have to go away and pray and ask God, what are you saying to me, and am I prepared to go? At the beginning of the year, we shared a picture of the area with flames on a grid. And one of our spiritual leadership team, Russell Sutton, had brought this to me during 2012. It wasn't a picture he got straight away. It was a picture that just built up. Initially, he came and said, Andrew, I've been praying. I've just seen a picture of this area, a map of this area with a grid over it. And he looked at me and said, what does that mean? And I just had the great answer for him. Straight away, I knew. I said, Russell, you're going to have to go and pray what that means. Because I haven't a clue. I just love it when prophetic people come and give me pictures like that. Because my wisdom is great. Just go away and pray. It's easy. And so he did. And then he came back and he said, God's shown me more. He believed God had shown him more. And he showed us that God had there was lights in that grid. And where Fullwood was, there was a big light that the Holy Spirit fanned into flame and other lights rose. And I really believe that God is calling us to be a church on mission because his heart is for this world. It's to break out. And what's happening this year is that another door in the kingdom of heaven is being cracked open by God. And as we pray, God's cracking it further and further open, not so that we can break in, so that he can break into our lives and get us breaking out beyond to begin to clean up brambles and rambles and mess in people's lives beyond this place. And his question tonight is, if he asks you, will you go? Will we be prepared to let some of the best people here in Fullwood leave to break out beyond our walls? My gut reaction when I thought about that at the beginning of this year was, no! Because I like my leadership team. We've grown together, we've walked together, we love being together. It's great. I like the spiritual leadership team. I like the board. They're all good folk. I like the bands. They're great. I like the ministry teams that we have around here, 8 different ministry teams that make the church sing, and it's brilliant. It works so well around here. But what if God chucked a massive spanner in the works and sent half of those folks out on mission away from Fullwood? What if it was you or me? I didn't come to hear that tonight. I didn't come to be made uncomfortable. There's a world out there that needs to discover what we've been enjoying and discovering together here. That this loving community of God's life-changing presence isn't just for us. It's for others. God spoke to a man called Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah has this awesome encounter with God. Awesome vision of God. And in that place, when he's in the presence of God, he knows who he is. He knows he's not fit for God's presence, even though God's revealed his presence to him. And he cries out, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I live with a people of unclean lips. He knew what he was like. He knew what his people were like. And he said, God, I'm not fit for your presence. And God called an angel to take a coal off an altar. And that coal was touched to Isaiah's lips. And it said, your sin's been taken away. It's been atoned for. You're now clean. That's exactly what God did with Jesus at the cross. He comes and puts the cross against your life and he makes you clean. And then God said to Isaiah these words, "Whom will I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah goes, "I have to pray about that one, Lord. It's very comfortable here in your presence. It's nice. It's challenging. It's a bit scary being in your presence, but it's good. I really need to pray about whether I've got to go or not." No. God looks at Isaiah and he says, "Who will go for us? Whom will I send?" And Isaiah's response is, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." And all I'm going to ask you to do tonight, we don't know where yet. We don't know when. We're not saying it is Blackburn. We're saying, "Lord, is it Blackburn?" That's the first place it may be. But we believe over the next 5 to 10 years, again and again and again, God is calling us to go. Here's a door that was cracked open in heavenly places. A guy called David Ollerton, some of you know his son, Andrew. Andrew comes to preach here. And David, he's not been for a long time, but the last time he preached from the book of Acts, from Acts chapter 1. And he preached about Jesus telling the disciples that when the Holy Spirit came and filled them with God's presence, they would go into Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And Dave said, "We're really good with Jerusalem, because that's where we are now. We're really good with the uttermost parts of the earth, because we kind of think that's where we got to go. So we're good with Rwanda, well-ish. We care for a hospital called Kibigora Hospital and the university that's built to train medics and pastors there. We care for Panda Vida. We just sent a team out to Ecuador. So we're good at the uttermost parts of the earth. We've got a way to go, but we're getting there." You know, I wonder what our Samaria is. I wonder what our Samaria is. That's just the place on the next doorstep to us. I wonder if this picture, sorry, that picture, I can see it there. I wonder if this picture is God saying, "Samaria." And I wonder if when Dave preached that, God said, "I'm going to crack a door open in heavenly places on these guys. And one day, the door's going to be wide. Who will I go? Who will I send? Who will go for me?" Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing breadth of reading your word and knowing your heart was not just to make us and walk away. You made us because you love us and you love being with us. And you want to deal with our lives in a way that allows that to happen. Thank you for this great news about Jesus, who through the cross has made it possible. Who through forgiveness and being cleaned and set free from our sin, we can know the presence of God through the Holy Spirit. We can enjoy that together. Thank you. But God, as we've been praying this year, so we pray it again tonight. Not almost like you turning the heat upon it. We just simply say, "Lord, are you going to send me?" We dare to open up our hearts, Lord, and say, "Lord, will you cause us to walk across the room at work? Or walk across our street at home?" Lord, as a church, what are you saying to us about Blackburn? What are you saying to us about the rest of this area where we believe you're calling us to break out beyond our walls? And Lord, if it's me, if it's us, whichever ones of us it may be, help us together as a church to walk united, walk together, supporting each other, releasing each other, and above all, trusting you. Lord, change us, shape us, make us a missionary people, so that we go beyond, way beyond being a loving community of your life-changing presence. Amen.